This is the GGC Life podcast.
I want to continue this series on Kingdom Family. I really feel the biggest thing about understanding Kingdom Family is when you get a revelation, I think we all have to get not just a revelation, but we have to encounter the Father's love. That the way we came into the kingdom is by getting born again. And so encountering God's love and actually knowing the Father and allowing God as the Father to love on us and to change us and transform us and fill us with his love, will then we'll be able, with that overflow and overwhelming love, we'll be able to love one another. And also understanding, obviously, the Father and knowing his greatness, knowing who he is, knowing that he's the creator of all things, he's the one who spoke everything into existence. And so that's why we want us to understand it's kingdom family, we're not just family with this group of people, this congregation or this local family, but you are connected to the global family of God because it's one kingdom, as Ephesians says, one Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism, one body. So it's important that we understand these things, but you're only going to understand by experiencing and encountering God's love. I can't explain it any other way, and I'm encouraging you to experience and encounter his love, even when you're alone, when you're having time with him, when you're worshiping, when you're in your room by yourself, bedroom, lounge room, going for a walk, whatever you do to spend time with God, our Father. Encounter him as a beautiful, loving Father. Genesis 18, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, and Leon spoke about it as well. The revelation of family is in the heart of God. That's why we have to understand that it was his idea, because he made Adam and Eve, man and woman, father and mother, together make up the image of God. And he told them, be fruitful and multiply. That's children. So family is God's idea. And so we can't allow the world, the government, people that don't know God to define family. It's only what God says we are. He's the manufacturer. You know when someone manufactures an item and the manual literally means the maker's instruction. It was the maker's idea of that item that the maker made. And the instructions are there because it's like a warranty. It's on top of the item. You're supposed to take it out. You're supposed to read it. I know most of us never read our manuals that come with the things we get. But it shows you how to fully use the full potential of what you bought, because the maker knows what he's done. And warranty comes when you actually follow the manual. Same with a car. If you don't follow, if it says it needs to be serviced by the people that you bought it off for the first 5 years, or else you won't have warranty. So it's got certain conditions because they know how this car, vehicle, operates best. You got to follow the instructions of the manual. And so when God, the Creator, created us, he defined marriage and family as father and mother. No matter how the world tries to define it, it won't operate correctly. You will have... That's why I really believe with all my heart, the enemy, the devil, and his strategy is to destroy the family. And if you understand that the family structure, as healthy as the family is, there goes the society. Think about that for a second. If the enemy can destroy family structure and dilute it, pollute it, pervert it, change it, transform it, bring divorce, like single parenting, whatever he tries to do, there goes society and civilization. Because a child, or when you're born in the way God's designed, mother and father, and you're born in that, you form your beliefs. Not to mention every single one of us have come out of a dysfunctional family. 100% all of us. No one's had perfect parents because everyone's fallen and away from God. Everyone's fallen, eh? We're all separated from God. There's brokenness in all of us. So I had a mother and father, but I can honestly say I wasn't close with my dad. I didn't have a close, intimate relationship with my dad. And I've said it many times before. I want us to understand, because as a little child, when dad came home, I dreaded it. Oh no, dad just got home. I didn't like it when he was around. That's a bad thing to have, you know that. And so whenever he left the house, oh, excellent, oh, I was relieved, dad's gone. Isn't that, that's really bad. That's not good. It should be the opposite, right? So why I'm saying that is some of us, I know in Australia alone, one in every four women have been somehow sexually abused to some degree. That's a lot. So you might be right now saying, but Leo, you don't know my dad. You know, like my dad abused me. My dad physically abused me, emotionally abused me, verbally abused me. There's so many different upbringing that we've been hurt and scarred and broken. And when we get born again, God's intention is to heal all that. He has to get into you and heal your wrong image of what a father and mother is. And so for me, when I first became a Christian at the age of 19, I started to worship God and pray. I'm learning. I don't know how to pray. It's all new to me. I'm trying to get press into God. And I learned intimacy with God is to be 100% honest with Him. Best way to pray is to be 100% honest. And so learn to open up your heart, because the Bible says you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. So when I would pray, I'd sometimes sit in the backyard under the stars and say, come on, Lord, speak to me. And I hear nothing. The Lord said, Leah, you've got the key. Your will is the key. You draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. What is He doing? He's speaking the word to me. And He says, Leah, you have to open up your heart. You have to be 100% honest. And sometimes I didn't want to be honest because, one, I didn't want to find out the real truth about myself. Or sometimes I was worried about, oh, the devil's going to hear that and he's going to hear the weakness. And don't worry about the devil. He shouldn't even be in your equation. He shouldn't even be mentioned in your thinking. He's not going to affect your talking with God and intimacy with God. Don't worry about him whatsoever. But when I didn't know that, my mind was hindered. Thinking, oh, but if I say that, then the devil will know. And who cares about the devil? He's chained up in chains of darkness. We're walking in light. He won't even understand when I speak out of light and honesty and truth. Jesus spoke about him dying himself. He spoke about him dying on the cross many times to his disciples. Do you think the devil understood what was going to happen at the cross? He didn't. The Bible says if the princes of this world knew who the Lord of glory was, they would not have crucified him. Yes, that's talking about physical leaders. It's also talking about spiritual ones, the demons, the principalities. If they knew what was going to happen at the cross, they would have left Jesus alone and not crucify him, because he was going to die for the sins of the world, and there was going to be resurrected little Christians everywhere, Christ-like people everywhere, billions actually. And so the enemy didn't know what was going to happen. Doesn't know everything. But I'm talking about getting in God's presence. And I can't tell you how many times the Father's presence would come as I worship him, and he would overwhelm me with his love, and I would weep. I'm crying. I don't know why I'm crying. I'm weeping. Why am I weeping? And I'm looking back now, because this is a 30-year journey, 30 for me, 36 years, when I first became a Christian. And I feel that weeping was healing. It was never weeping out of, oh, woe is me, oh, well, I'm something wrong with me. It was never self-pity. It wasn't self-pity. It wasn't connected to self-pity. It was connected to God's love. It was connected to God, you love me so much. God, you love me. Yes, you're so good. Oh, you're so, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. And I'll be weeping. But I believe as that was happening, it was healing my emotions. It was healing how I saw the Father. He was healing how I understand love. He was healing things deep in my heart, so I can accept his love. Because sometimes we push him away because we think, oh, but I don't deserve his love. I'm not living good enough. So if you are works orientated and you are performance orientated and you think, if I'm doing good, then God loves me. If I'm doing bad, he doesn't love me. Then you'll be driven through works and you'll be struggling to please God because you think when I'm doing good, I'm doing lots of good works. I used to pray when I first became a Christian. I got to a place where I was praying after a few months, praying for 2 hours and reading the Bible for 2 hours. Praying for 2 hours every single day. 2 hours. So if one day came and I only read the Bible for half an hour and read and prayed for half an hour, I thought, oh, God's not as pleased with me today as he was yesterday. Can you see how that means I'm relying on my works and I don't know the Father's love? So it's we've got to open up our hearts to this revelation of the Father's love. Absolutely, that I'm loved by him. One time the Lord said to me, Leo, if there was no one else in the planet to love but just you. Because sometimes we think, Lord, you're giving all your attention to everybody. There's billions of people. You're pouring your love, your attention, your affection to others. And you've got whatever's left over. We almost treat him like ourselves. He's not altogether like us. He doesn't run out of love because he's loving everyone on the planet. And he said, Leo, there's no one else on the planet. Think about it, just you. The Lord said to me, Leo, I would not love you any more than I already do right now. See, we got to understand that love. We've got to actually believe, I'm so valuable, I'm so precious, that he wouldn't love me more if he's got nobody else to love. He even said it as far as saying, if there's nobody in heaven, nobody in heaven, nobody on the earth, just you, I wouldn't love you any more than I already do now. It's being secure in this everlasting love the Father has for us that we don't even can't comprehend it with our brain. How do I know he loves me? Because he died on the cross for me. Little old me. Again, we've said this for years, but I believe it with all my heart that if there was no one else left on the planet to have died for, just you, I believe with all my heart he was still left heaven, become a man, live a perfect life without sin, come through the virgin birth of Mary, be perfect for 33 years, and then die on that cruel death just for you, to give you a chance to respond. And you still have a free will, you could say no. I believe he would have done it just for you. Just for me. That's how valuable, special, if that's the right word, we are to him. In myself, I'm not worthy. But yet, we were worthy enough for him to die on the cross. We were valuable enough to him to die on the cross. He made us in his image. He redeemed us to himself. That's why we can worship the way we do. When you believe what I'm talking about, you know, you've arrived. You're not going to go to the judgment seat of Christ and he's going to check if you've been good enough to get into heaven. You've already been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're already a citizen of heaven. You've already arrived. And the judgment seat of Christ for believers is for rewards. It's not to see if we make it. That's got to be settled in your heart. Every other person that doesn't accept Jesus goes to the great white throne judgment. That's a different story. If their names aren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says they go to hell for all eternity. The river of fire. We're not in that camp. We're in this camp as believers. If you've put your faith in Christ, repented of your sins and made Jesus your Lord, then you've come to become a son or a daughter of the Father. The whole Bible is that language. The whole Bible is family. We've got to understand that. I mean, Abraham, I love the fact that God chose Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 19, because he knew he would teach his children and family after him. I know this thing about you, Abraham, you're going to teach your children. That's a beautiful trait. I'm going to call you to be the father of the faith. The father, the language of father. He's called the father of the faith. The children of Israel. Why children? Because family. We're called the children of God. And there's just, I love the fact that Paul says, among you there's 10,000 teachers. Paul the apostle writes in Corinthians, in your Bible, there's 10,000 teachers among you, but not many fathers. And other times he says, I gave birth to you through the gospel. And he talks about Timothy, my son in the faith. Titus, my son in the faith. He's using this language of family. So I just want us to see, it's not church. See, the Bible says in Psalms that he who is planted in the house of God will flourish and be like flourish and be planted and grows. Health, growth. Why? Because they're planted in the house of God. But when we think of house, most of us think of building and when I attend church. The word house actually means family in the Hebrew. Look it up. The root meaning means family. He who is planted in the family of God is a better explanation of that word house. The word house literally means home and family. So you can attend church on a Sunday, every Sunday, and still not be actually planted. Planted those trees in the forest, when the winds come, they all stand up nice and strong because their roots intertwine under each other and under the ground. And when the wind, a tree on its own gets fallen over really quick. Because they don't intertwine. There's something about us being connected through relationship, through love, and we've got to have the right understanding of what family is. This is really where it really lies, because first of all, family is organic, and And if you've got a mindset, okay, Leah's talking about family. Well, that's it. I want to be family. And if you think I'm going to be family in this church in 3 months, you probably got an unreal expectation. It might take way more than 3 months. Be very honest with each other. I think in this day and age, it probably takes years unless God does something absolutely supernatural. God can do supernatural and he can join and you can feel connected straight away. He does that many times. But in some cases, in most cases, I would say it takes some years to build trust. We're talking about real, real trust. I'm talking about trust like my children trust me as their father. Because I believe, as Jesus has said, you know, when his physical family were outside wanting to see him, and they say, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers and sisters, they want to come and see you. And he goes, who is my mother and my brother? He used as an object lesson. These are my brothers and sisters. He who does the will of my Father in heaven, they're my brothers and sisters and my mother. That's real family if you do the will of God. So your biological family, if they don't know Jesus, they're not born again, not following God, not doing the will of God, aren't as close as those that are born again, following God, doing the will of God. We should be closer, I believe, because you're born of God. And because they're not born of God, there's a distance, a separation. If they're born of God, then yes, of course they're going to be close to your family when they know Christ. It's the same spirit. You're born of the same spirit. When you understand you've come into the family of God through a birth, through a new birth. That's the born again experience. Where as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. Look at the language, family. Desire the sincere milk of the word, where you may grow thereby. And it says, because you've heard the word, and the word is the gospel which is preached to you. That's what the Bible says. The good news is the word. Hearing the gospel. The gospel, it's not born again by corruptible seed. That's what it says there. But incorruptible by the word of God which lives and abides forever. And this was the gospel that was preached to you. That's what the scripture says in 1 Peter. So you're born again by the word, the seed of the word. The gospel has to come into your heart, germinates. Your heart is the soil. The water is the Holy Spirit, germinates and resurrects your dead spirit. And you get born again when you repent and give your life to Jesus. When you get born again, you get birthed into the family of God. And I read a book. It's all about redemption by E.W. Kenyon. And the title of the book was The Father and His Family. Because that's really what it boils down to. The Father God and His family. And it was all about redemption from Genesis to Revelations. The Father and His family. When you know you're a son, you know the Bible says Jesus is the only begotten Son of God in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The only begotten Son of God. But do you know after the book of Acts, it's never referred to Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. Isn't that interesting? Because once he died, paid the price, went to heaven, forgave us of our sins, poured the blood in the altar of heaven, set the Holy Spirit, and we get born again. The Bible refers to him in the letters, talking about Jesus, not as the only begotten son, but as the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn among many brethren. That's what the Bible says. I'm giving you scripture. If you say, I don't believe you're teaching the Bible, well then come to me and I'll show you the scriptures, just in case you don't believe me. If we went through every single one of these scriptures, I wouldn't be able to get what I'm trying to say to you. But trust me, I know you do. I'm telling you what the Bible's telling us. That firstborn among the many brethren and the firstborn from the dead. If he's the firstborn, we're also born from the dead. I have a firstborn, but I also have a secondborn, I have a thirdborn, a fourthborn, fifthborn children in the natural. Leon's my firstborn, so Jesus was God the Father's firstborn. We're also born from the dead. You who were dead in your sins, God made you alive and resurrected you and seated you, guess where? At the right hand of the Father God. The highest seat of heaven, but Jesus is seated there at the right hand of the Father. Again, Son, Father, it's family, isn't it? Relationship, family relationship, yeah? And we're in Christ. Where the head is, the body seated. We were dead in our sins. He made us alive. He resurrected us, as in Ephesians chapter 2 and Colossians and Galatians. And he raised us up and seated us in heavenly places. So you're also seated as a son or a daughter at the right hand of the Father God. Now, when you understand sonship, daughtership, this is how family flows. I got to know my identity in the family. I got to believe my identity. I just got to, all I'm asking you to do is actually believe everything the Bible says. Just believe everything the Bible says. If it's in there, believe it. Stop when you read and go, Lord, that's me. Put your name in it. Okay, Lord, I'm forgiven of all my sins. Righteousness, you have been made righteous. You know, him who knew no sin, he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. Dear Lord, it's real. Right now, I'm the righteousness of God. We're talking about God's righteousness. Not by works, by grace. It's a gift. So I can relate to him as a son and a daughter. If I was a daughter, if I was a lady. Isn't that good news? But this is understanding family, because you got to come in the right way so that we've got this unconditional and everlasting love that comes from the Father into us. Then I got unconditional love to love others. Like, I believe with all my heart, it's hard to forgive others when you don't know and fully understand you've been forgiven of a $20 billion debt you could never pay. That's what Jesus actually said in his parables. When, you know, you had one person owed that Lord a lot of money, remember? And then that Lord said, I forgive you of all your debts. And he was excited. But then he found someone that owed him $20. How are you going to grab him by the neck? You better pay me $20 or I'll put you in prison. He was forgiven this massive debt. And the Bible says because he didn't forgive those people, this guy wasn't forgiven and put him in jail instead. So it's like what Jesus is trying to say. If you get a revelation that God the Father forgave you of a debt you could never have paid, you and I could never have paid the debt to get out of forgiveness of sins and to get out of judgment, to go to hell. We could never have worked our way out of that in our own strength. He gave it to us for free. When you understand that, when someone hurts you, you've got a lot of love to forgive. Man, you've got an everlasting currency. Yeah, I can forgive you. Yeah, you hurt me. That's okay, I can forgive you. And you're like Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, but that's Jesus, Leo. That's the Son of God. What about Stephen being stoned to death by his haters? And he says, Jesus, don't lay this sin to their charge. I mean, that's a lot of love and compassion while you're dying. That's a man made in God's image. We've got to believe what the Bible says. And so when I think of family, there's so many things I want to get into. I do. The number one thing I think of, we need to have a revelation of what family is, but I do believe, I think of everlasting love. When I think of everlasting love, there's no limit to it. It's not conditional. It's an agape love. God's love for me wasn't conditional. While I and you were a sinner and an enemy of God, I wasn't even thinking about God, he died on the cross for my sins. It's unconditional, everlasting. And I believe that when you have children, you have this love for them that's not conditional. You're willing. This is what real love is. As a father or a mother, you're willing to lay down your life for your children. And that makes their children feel so secure, so safe, so protected. And when I talk about laying down your life, when you've got this pure love, they know that you're laying down your needs for them. That's what love is, to fulfill their security, their joy, their happiness. This is what love is. You lay down your desires to fulfill the other person's desires, to minister to them, to meet their needs. I know for my mum loved me so unconditionally. As a little boy, my heart was so warm at times. I still don't forget the feeling. I remember the feeling of, my mum loves me so much. When I grow up, I'm going to take care of her. I remember deep, when I can earn, I'm going to take care of my mum and dad. But then there was a lot of hurts, a lot of rejection, a lot of words spoken that should never have been spoken as I was growing up. Not from my mum, but my dad a lot, because he didn't know any better. But see, I have totally forgiven my dad because he didn't know any better. I would have done what he did to me if I didn't know Jesus. I would have done that to my children. I would have been separated. I wouldn't have known what intimacy is. I wouldn't know how to love, and therefore I would have continue the cycle of my parents into my children. But that curse was broken in Christ. So I'm trying to show us that love. What does love do? Love makes you feel secure. There's a lot of things in the family environment. And we're talking about God the Father's love first, because we've got to experience His love, and that's how we give unconditional love to one another. Something about family is, because of this real unconditional love, there's a belonging. That's why I can say, how do you explain belonging? Like, how do you explain that to someone? Like, how do you feel? I don't know why, but I just belong in the family, because it's a part of your identity. You just know I belong. You're not confused. You're not, why am I here? I mean, and when a family is healthy, there's purpose. There's a vision. We're moving towards something. And a family that's healthy, we're talking about physical family right now, that knows Jesus, is born again, knows Christ, filled with God's love, is on their number one vision goal is to love God with all their heart and to love their neighbor as themselves. And then on top of loving God is to preach this gospel of the kingdom. It's the mandate of making disciples of all nations. When a family is focused in fulfilling that, then you're unified. If I brought my physical family up here, you all know them. Hopefully, most of you all know them. You know, me, my wife, Christine, Leon, Josiah, Ethan. I'm just using them as an example. When you look at us, we're completely different. Me and my wife, completely different physically. I'm short. She's tall. She's dark. I'm not. She's beautiful. I'm not. But she thinks different. I think different. We process differently the way we think. We're completely different people, but we're married. Therefore, we're made one. And what unites us is this love for the Father. We're different gifts. I look at Leon, look at Josiah. They look different. Ethan, look different. Zeke, look different. Evangelist, they look different. Their fingerprints are different. Everything's different about them. But we're a family. We don't think the same. There's misunderstandings. There's disagreements. There's sometimes we go, no, we don't agree on that. But you know what? We're family. Yeah. What unites a family is this love for God. Yeah. This purpose, this vision. You're still going the same direction. And you love each other despite of the differences and the weaknesses. But there's a belonging, because you get your DNA, you get your culture. You know, family culture? Everyone's got their own family culture, don't they? What they value, where do you get that from? Your family in the natural, but in the kingdom, we're supposed to get it from the word and supposed to get it from the kingdom culture. How do they live in heaven? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're trying to bring the way they live on earth that Jesus told us to pray that way. The way they live on earth. There's no unforgiveness in heaven. There's actually no gossiping in heaven ever. No negative talking. No criticism, full of hate. Nothing like that in heaven. There's honor in heaven. You know, I would never criticize another person, believer, or man of God, woman of God, even if I don't agree with the way they minister. I just won't do it. And I might never minister the way they do. But you know what? They are another man's servant, and I won't judge them. The Lord is their judge. The Bible says, to his own master, he'll stand or fall. And God's able to make him stand. I'm not going to judge it. I just won't do it. The body of Christ has got to wake up and mature up and not do that anymore. Because we try to look at each other the way we understand it. The Bible says the unity of the faith will unite us. Not methodology, not expression, not personality, not the styles of the way we worship. Not that, but the unity of the faith. Big difference. So what happens in a family? I've got to close already. The family name. You know, my family, they have my name. They have my second name. And there's a what comes with name is culture and values. Values. We're talking about the kingdom value. There's a kingdom value that we should all hold to. True? That's what are we fighting for? What's our one purpose? Is to bring kingdom on earth, to be true to the word, to love the Father and then love this dying world. And as a family, we can do that. We are one, even though you're different. as a family, we are one because of the one purpose, but we're very different to each other. There's equal value in a family. It's not like I value one son with one daughter above the other. No, I only got one daughter. But I don't value them differently. I relate to them differently, but I don't value them differently. So in our togetherness, you don't have a different value on people. Everyone's the same value. Honor is different because the Bible says, to whom honor is due, give honor. So we honor each other. Everyone receives honor, but you sow honor so that they could grow into that level of honor. Now, honor is a powerful thing in heaven. What else does the family give? I think safety, feeling safe. When you come home, you should feel safe. If you've lived in a home where you didn't feel safe, you gotta again, experience the Father and let Him fill you with that sense of safety, security, no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So there's no insecurity. You feel safe. The other thing that the Father God does is, and as fathers, we provide and we protect with our life, if needs be. And we guide. So our Father God, He's our provider. That's why, again, safety. Feeling safe that, okay, I've got all these needs, but Lord, you're my provider. You're my dad. It's not hard to exercise faith when you learn to trust Him. Does that make sense? And trust is a massive key to kingdom family. It's hard to trust someone if you don't trust them. I think my children trust me because they know I love them. They know I want the best for them. I'm talking about that type of trust in the kingdom family. And that takes time. We've got to be real. You come from another place, another church, another, you know, and it takes time to build trust. And you can't be family with absolutely everybody when the church is 500 people or 1,000 people, whatever. But you've got to be family with some, like a connect group, a community. You've got to have some that know you, some that I feel I belong. These guys know me. I'm accountable to these guys. There's submission here. There's mutual submission. There's relationship. There's trust. That's family. The opposite of that is independence, isn't it? I do everything on my own. Everything's just myself. I make decisions on my own, especially big decisions. I don't inquire what others are thinking and praying about me. Like this, you process big decisions with family. When it's a big decision, not every decision, but I'm talking about a life-changing decision. Don't do it on your own. Don't come from an independent spirit. That's the world. We're in a kingdom family that cares. And just be realistic with understanding what family is. Like I said, it does take time. But this is what we strive for. Because I believe this is what the Bible says we should be doing. Amen? There's healthy relationships, freedom. When you come home, you should probably, it's your home. When it's hot, man, when I come home, I take my shirt off. I saw my dad always never with a shirt at home. Maybe that's what it was. And I'm at home, I'm comfortable, no one else around. I always got a t-shirt ready, so if someone knocks on the door, I chuck it on. But that's just me. But what is it? It's at home, you can be free, you can be yourself. You're not going to put on anything, you're not going to put on a mask, you're not going to try to be somebody else, because you already know you're loved. I remember when I was a young believer, I'm going to finish with this. I was talking to the Lord in the backyard under the stars. I said, Lord, why do I get nervous when I'm talking to a group of people? I used to stutter and get fearful. And He said, Leah, because you want them to like you. You want them to love you. Why is it I can talk normally in front of my family? And when it comes to new people and people that don't know me and in a group of people, I just get nervous. And he goes, because Leah, you actually want them to like you and accept you and love you. No one wants to be hated. No one wants to be rejected. And he goes, but with your family, you know they love you already. That's why you're yourself around your family. You're not trying to win their love. You know they love you. That's why the hardest place to love is in your family. You love, you got to lay down your life at home. If you can love your mum and dad with honor, you can love your brother and sister with honor, you're winning the war of love at home. Amen? Let's pray. But I'm asking us all to experience and encounter His love. Like we did as we were worshiping, but I'm talking about everyday lifestyle. I'm not just talking about just come out the front and experience here, but all the time. Does that make sense? I really want to get this point across. You know, when we lost the building on Wednesday, one of my close friends says, let's pray. And for some reason, in my spirit, I just knew that God's going to come up with something. It's good to pray, and I could have prayed, and nothing wrong with praying, but in my spirit, I just knew, I know God's going to do it. And so I'm acting on what I need to do, which was making calls and looking around, and acting and checking all the doors and the doors of opportunity that we had available to us. And like if I prayed out of religiosity and didn't release my faith, then God wouldn't have heard my prayer. It's not a magical thing. But if I had a lifestyle, I'm trusting the Father to provide. That is prayer. Because my conversation was, oh, God's going to do something. God's going to come up with something. God's got this. God's going to give us something better. That was my conversation. Does it make sense? Just trying to show us that's what a relationship is. That's why Jesus can stand at the tomb and says, Father, I know you hear me. You always hear me. But I say this out loud so others can believe. Lazarus! And he prayed, come forth. He didn't go, I'm going to pray for 2 hours and pray and intercede, build my spirit up. And then he just knew. That's family. That's identity. We can speak a lot about identity when it comes to family. So Father, we thank you for encounters of your love ongoingly. Look, just ongoingly, Father. Every day during the week, we pray, Lord, that you, when you want to pour out your love, that we will receive your love. We'll be okay to weep. We're okay to receive and experience and encounter your overwhelming love for us. We pray as your children, Lord. Shower us with your goodness. Shower us with your love, we pray. Change us, transform us, make us know we are your sons and daughters, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the GGC Life podcast. We hope you feel encouraged. Be blessed.